Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Do you like fight scenes? Then you're going to enjoy this episode because we're going to talk about The Punisher Season 2, Episodes 10, 11, and 12, not Episode 13. We're going to save that for our next episode. We're going to talk about The Dark Hearts of Men, The Abyss, and Collision Course. The Punisher After Show starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to the Punisher After Show. I thought that this was a really cool version of the Creedence Clearwater Revival song, Fortunate Son. And the usage of it in the episode, episode 10, was pretty amazing. We will talk about that shortly. Again, this is the Punisher After Show. I'm Christian Blatt.
Hey,
who's
guys?
This?
Zia Anderson here, and I have to say, I am loving the soundtrack of this season. Oh, my gosh.
The music, especially in episode 13, just the usage of music the whole season. They have, like, a new music supervisor, something. I don't know what's going
awesome.
On, but it's been great. And, of course, also on the panel, April Dawn.
Hi, thanks for having me. This is definitely a jam, this song.
Yeah.
I'm going to add it to my iTunes or something.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I will commit $1.99 to that song.
Totally.
It's just such a different vibe than the original. And as we said, it is really well used. Well, let's dive right into it. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we got fight scenes. And we're going to kind of tackle right out of the gate the first big one, John Pilgrim. You know, when religious guys go off the rails, they go off the rails hard, because it's like he doesn't just, beat up a ton of people. And by the way, kill them all. Even the kid who could have run away.
That fight scene.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That one, honestly, this never happens. Had a little bit of a hard time watching it. I think I was literally wincing when things were happening. When he gutted the one guy.
Yeah.
He's
a little bit more brutal than even Frank is.
a little bit.
What did you think watching John, April, basically take out his old friends? Let's be honest. That's who they were,
Yeah, he's kind of like Frank in the way when the guys always come in tough and they're like, we're going to rough him up. And it's like, oh, you're cute.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Like, you should be the one who's worried.
Yeah, yes. Right, exactly. And it was impressive. And then the fact that he takes the liquor, he grabs the coke, he goes next door, he finds the women. I'm just like, John, what are you doing? You're a religious man. You're doing this because it's the righteous path. And I just like was entertaining to watch him just really clearly we got an indication, don't you think, Zia, of what he used to be like.
Oh, absolutely. I think my favorite part, though, might have been him watching him get that very strange blowjob,
uh-huh,
where he's just like seems to be not paying any attention to what's happening. He's just rambling about,
going on in that woman's head, like, while he's sitting there rambling.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, what am I doing? What is this?
She's probably so relieved when she's like, just go. She's like, okay.
She's like, yeah, great.
She's like, sure, see you later.
Yeah, and for him, it's like, did he even want that? Or was it just like,
I don't think so.
You know what, I've already done all these bad things, let me just go ahead. It's like, it's like when your plate is full at the buffet, you're like, I need to squeeze one more thing on there. I don't even want it,
His wife is dying of cancer at home while he's doing this.
Although, to be fair, at that point, she's actually already passed away. We didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make it okay, John Pilgrim. it's I would say it was a little surprising, know? I figured that when we saw him kind of lose his cool demeanor, it would be just for violence. I didn't think all the other stuff was going to come with it. So we have that fight scene. And then later in this episode 10, we sort of have this pivotal fight scene that we're building to throughout the episode. And we have some flashbacks and things that we'll touch on in a little bit. But I wanted to ask you first, April, when Curtis and Frank have the Valhalla compound staked out. Just your thoughts on sort of the anticipation when he goes in and how we see that unfold. Just your thoughts of basically all of it, the whole operation.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it to go down the way it did. I definitely thought Frank and Curtis were going to go in there and mess them up, but Billy was ready for them. And I think that's one of the coolest fight scenes. I love the way they did the lights and how they attacked him like that. I was really impressed by that.
And Z, I don't know about you, but I thought it was good in the following episode when they explained, like, yeah, there were like rubber bullets. And I was like, yeah, because how did he survive that? And it's like, well, because Billy wanted him to survive. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, that was because I had the exact same thought. I was like, geez, I mean, I know we've seen Frank come back from some stuff, but
even in later episodes in this season.
But no, you're right. And they explain it. You're like, oh, OK, that makes sense. Billy was trying to do to Frank what Frank did to him.
Yeah, and I think it shows you just, you know, how evenly matched they are. I mean, Billy's got somehow manages to have some extra crazy. And the fact that we see throughout the episode, Billy's watching Curtis and Frank. If he wanted either of them dead, they would have been dead at that moment. Like, he had them in his sights. He's just sort of watching and planning. And what it really comes down to is this desire to prove that, Frank, you're not any better than me, and to make him think that in the onslaught and the attempt to just, you know, kill Billy, that to make Frank think that he killed, you know, three innocent women, April, in that moment, you know, when Frank realizes, or at least what he thinks that he's done, how do you feel John Bernthal did capturing that for us?
I think that was such a great moment, because they tell you throughout the whole season, the difference between Billy and Frank is that he has a code when Billy really doesn't. And I think that was truly the smartest thing that Billy could have done, is make him believe that he really did hurt those people. And I think it worked out in his favor.
Yeah, I mean, Frank's idea was that he wanted Billy, you know, in season one, he wanted Billy to live with what he had done. And that's why he scarred his face. I mean, essentially, that's what Billy his thinking was. And, you know, I think he had some psychological assistance from a trained professional that helped him come up with that plan.
Oh, boy. Watching Madani, I mean, Madani get played.
Madani too, but Krista, by Dumont.
Yeah, I was like, dude, come on, Madani, you're better than this.
Yeah, but it just makes you realize how they really are so perfect together, you know?
Yeah.
The crazy matches.
You could have seen them just skipping down the street while the Turtles Happy Together played. And just be like, oh my God, Herman's Hermits, I'm into something good. So either way, you're like, oh. And I was just really impressed with the extent that he went to, because as we've talked about, Frank has a code. Yeah, he's not going to kill people that aren't bad people. He's going to go back and save someone who's innocent, someone who doesn't deserve to die. He's not going to, you know, well, he's not going to kill a police officer, but if there's an elevator full of them, spoiler,
great fight scene,
he's gonna definitely have to rough him up a little bit. But he does have a code, and when he thinks that he violated that code, he's just almost catatonic, and the police show up, and he's like, I did it, so you're gonna have to take me in, basically. How difficult do you imagine that was for Frank?
Well, I think at that point it was less difficult and more he's like, I'm a bad person, I just killed three women. I think at that point he'd given up. He's like, what else can I do? Sorry, he's not going to. I'm getting so excited. I'm like, I'm poking April.
Yeah, well, she deserves it.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I mean, that's what we see in the next episode when he's in the hospital. He wants to die because he thinks he deserves to die.
Yeah.
And did you have any thought that, I'll ask you first, April, did you have any thought that those women maybe weren't alive when Frank blew everything up? Or did you think that Billy actually figured out a way to get him to kill these innocent people?
They had me for a minute, but then just thinking ahead in the episodes, I'm like, there's no way they're going to let him do it, because of how he would have reacted, like, he would have been done for the season. Like, I don't yeah. think he would have continued fighting Billy or anything if he had actually had it.
And it's a very morally ambiguous, very difficult character to wrap your head around. But because he has this code, I think that you're able to kind of go along with him, even when there's things that are objectionable. Like we were, you know, talking about the veteran that he beat up, one of Billy's friends. I've already forgotten that character's Jake. Yeah. Yeah. Just beating up old Jake, you know, like that's like, it's a bit much, Frank, you know, mm-hmm. but you're able to understand, like, it's part of the greater good, part of the greater plan that he's going towards. I think that for me, I was, you know, in the moment when that episode ended, and that was the fourth of four episodes I watched that night. And I was like, it's 1 o'clock. I got to go to bed. But oh, man,
I know.
I was just like, that's rough. And that's when they use that Fortunate Son by Cat Power mm-hmm. that we played at the beginning. And it's just like, this is amazing. Like, just, you know, like, hats off to Jigsaw. Good job, buddy. Mm-hmm. You really pulled a fast one on it. So I thought that it asked so many questions. It really addressed what this was all about, you know, let Frank do what Frank does best. Oh, but Frank, look what happens sometimes when you do what you do best. And, I thought it raised a lot of really important moral questions and the difference between Frank and Billy and the idea that they really are different. You know, mm-hmm. because we saw Billy kill plenty of people that didn't, just in this season, you know, that didn't have any reason to, didn't certainly weren't part of any mission. It was just more like, yeah, I'm going to just kill this person. So I think that it was all really well done. And I think as we see him, as I alluded to in episode 11, kind of grappling with it, he seems really defeated. I mean, we get our friend Karen Page.
We get mm-hmm. Karen for one small episode.
I know, I can't believe she was only in one episode. Ah. That was hugely disappointing.
I know.
You know, that's like only having David Tennant in one episode of season two of Jessica Jones.
I mm-hmm. know. You would have, anyway.
Just a little more. But yeah. Anyway, it honestly, it didn't suit the story to have her stick around for too long. And it, good for Karen that for the first time ever, when somebody says you have to walk away, she actually did, you know?
She mm-hmm. actually did. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that she kind of put herself out there with Frank.
Yeah.
And Frank basically told her this is never going to happen, which I, as everyone knows, I shipped them. So I was disappointed.
Yeah. I was excited for you while they were talking. And I love when Amy comes in and
she ruined the kiss. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. Of course, Amy.
Amy just came in and ruined the whole kiss moment. That yeah. was when it was going to happen.
That was, yeah, that was it right there. And just who knows what happens at that point. But I don't know. I think Frank loves a woman who wears shoes. What did you think of sort of that, I mean, tension in so many ways between Frank and Karen, April?
I have my reservations about Karen in general. Like, I like her as a character. She's definitely grown on me. But I feel like every show she is on, I feel like that she's going to end up with that guy. Like, when she's on Daredevil, I'm like, oh, her and Matt are totally going to be together. Yeah. And it's just like, I want to know where she's going to end up, but we may never see that now.
It seems like Karen's just destined to be alone. Every guy she has feelings for, it's first, you know, Matt is actually in love with Elektra. And so he runs off with her, which, you know, that's not on
Karen.
There's
like a moment where Foggy and her, you're like, well, I guess. Maybe.
But then Foggy mm-hmm. is with that other girl.
Marcy. Yeah.
That other girl is with Marcy. And then, you know, then she really wants to, she does have this soft spot for Frank. And she really was like, you couldn't love anyone else. And that was kind of heartbreaking, honestly.
I know. Okay. You put it out there for, if the Punisher can't love you, then I guess no one can. No, I tease Karen, but I thought it was really powerful, their interactions. And the Karen storyline, I made a quick offhand comment about it, but manages to represent what I've really enjoyed about the season is there are very humorous aspects. Go figure. From this show, especially mm-hmm. compared to last season.
Yeah.
But when we see the friendly neighborhood mortuary worker, the guy
who
worked on the morgue.
Oh my God, he was the best.
And I thought,
no,
that was a weird,
no,
man.
Super creepy. No, yeah, that's why it was creepy. He's eating his gross lunch with his I was gonna say shoes with his Crocs off, and he's just sitting there and he's like, hey, what do you need? I don't think I should bring you in. Okay, let's go. You know,
I totally thought Carol was going to have to date him.
And he's definitely in it. Yeah, I thought that she was going to have to date him. Oh. And he's clearly trying to figure out, like, so, Karen, Madani, like, how do we make all this happen? Come on, you know? He's definitely, like, blocking the door.
That made me so uncomfortable. I'm like, move, like, push him, Madani.
Yeah, no, exactly. I thought that, too. But, I mean, honestly, those two women are, you know, more than a match for him, I think.
But it's still uncomfortable.
No, of course it is. Absolutely. It was definitely a little bit like, you're like, ugh. But I was really happy with what it ended up being.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Amy's resiliency, April, and that she finds out what hospital he's in? And, you know, it might be a little far-fetched. That she's like
a doctor.
She said she was a nurse.
Okay,
still though. Yeah.
But
still.
But she played it off right. She's like, you look too young to be a nurse. Oh, you're uh-huh. And you're too handsome to be a police officer. It's not what she says, but it's basically mm-hmm. you know what the back and forth was. What did you think about you know, Amy just being so determined to get Frank out of the hospital?
I really enjoyed that. I like that. He saves her so many times that she's ready to step in the line of fire for him. I just love their relationship towards the end of the season. It grew so much.
Agreed. Yeah. Especially from where it starts. And mm-hmm. then they bonded.
From their first interactions. She's like, what are you looking at, rough road? Mm-hmm. You know? And for where it ultimately goes is very sweet. I thought Zia might have cried at one point watching episode 13. It didn't happen.
No, but there were moments.
Because your heart is just black and dead inside.
I was just going to say, I'm just dead inside, yeah, so you know.
Someone else might have felt something. But, I thought it was nice to see for Frank that he has these three strong female characters, just because, you know, it didn't need to all be female, but it was just interesting that's what we had, because mm-hmm. we had Madani, we had mm-hmm. Karen, and we had Amy. They're all there determined to, you know, help him. And I think that the information that they're able to give is like, look, we looked. The bullets aren't from your gun, and the trajectory's all wrong, and you
so
couldn't have killed him.
So happy they were there for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think he was
ready to put the needle in his leg when the guy was...
Yeah. The cop that wanted the $5 million. Yeah. So I think that we needed that, because sort of what you were saying before was that he needed to not think that he had done that, because he's like, why is he going to fight to get out? Why is he going to worry about anything? He didn't have anything to live for if he thought he was that person. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was great. I thought that the escape scene from the hospital was a great sequence, mm-hmm. because we have Frank getting out, we have Mahoney coming upstairs, we've got Johnny Pilgrim coming in too. April, give us your thoughts about how all of that unfolds, just sort of everybody descends on the hospital at once.
I thought that was really smartly shot in the way they planned it, with him in the officer suit and everything. Yeah. And I love that scene with Mahoney and Karen where he's like, Karen, where are your shoes?
Give them to a good cause.
See the morgue guy walking in those shoes. Oh my God, I was mm-hmm. dying.
This is not where I thought it was going. Yeah. As you, like Zia said, I thought it was a date. Maybe she was going to have to kiss him on the cheek. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, something. But no, the shoes. I thought it was pretty amazing. So the whole breakout sequence, and then, you know, Mahoney takes him in the ambulance. And, you know, you feel like, great, I'm just going to bring you to the police station and finally going to put an end to this.
Sure, Mahoney, sure.
But then, you know, Johnny Pilgrim's got a automatic weapon, a semi-automatic, I think. Mm-hmm. And that leads to a really impressive, car violence. I don't even know what to call it, you know? Just
car violence.
Because that wasn't really a car chase. Because they weren't chasing each other. Mm-hmm. It was like bumper cars.
Yeah.
And then a little...
Over the bridge there.
That was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I you want to talk about times during the season where I was very stressed out on the edge of my seat. It was just like, oh no, it went over the edge. Good Lord.
I love that finally what gets Mahoney to start sort of coming around is Frank saving his life. Yeah. That's always what it is. With everyone who hates Frank in the beginning, Frank does something and saves their life, and they're like, oh, damn
it. Yeah, and
I have to like you now.
Yeah,
and the fact that the ambulance blows up, you know, what, a minute after Frank gets him out, then Mahoney has to be like, oh, man, this guy came back and saved my life. You're disproving my entire theory on who you are, buddy. And I think, you know, there's that moment where he's just like, you know, Mahoney can't walk. He can't even really sit up. He's slouched over. And he pulls his gun. And Frank's like, you do what you got to do. That was one of those moments where I knew exactly what Frank was going to say, by the way. Mm-hmm. Was that it was just going to be like, you know what? If you got to shoot me in the back while I walk away, then I guess that's how this ends.
It was and right on brand.
Exactly. And you knew Mahoney wasn't going to be able to do it, of course. He's like, mm-hmm. I can't shoot anyone in the back.
Yeah, no, exactly. And as part of the escape, I liked that they used the it's not a red herring. It's sort of the very obvious character of the police officer who shows up early for his shift. You're like, oh, okay, this guy is going to be a bad guy. He's there for $5 million. Like, oh, aren't you here early? Yeah, you know, the overtime. Am I right? Okay, buddy, see you later.
Yeah, and the other cop doesn't think anything of it. He's just like, sure, I guess I get to get out of here.
Yeah,
bye. Like,
exactly. I might grab a donut on the way home. Right. And I like how they used him sort of in the bed so that they thought that they had Frank in the bed. So it was like all of it was just very well orchestrated, except, of course, how it ends in disaster, you know. Madani slamming into the pilgrim and trying to find him, and the very unhelpful lady on the bridge who like points to where he is, mm-hmm. and then he's not there.
He's right. Behind her in her car.
Yeah. It's like yeah. Thanks.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks, you should have just not pointed. That would have been more helpful. Mm-hmm. So I thought that you know it was. It was just interesting to watch all of it unfold. And let us know in the chat what you think of all of these sequences. You know, we're sort of tackling these big sequences and, you know, we'll get to the feelings and emotion in a little bit as we go along.
We have a couple here. Black sure. Magic says that morgue dude is even creepier for only wanting her shoes that much.
Right. It wasn't like I need Madonna's shoes too, because let's be honest.
Bought women's shoes.
Who do you think is gonna wear nice shoes? Karen wears nice shoes. I don't think Madonna has good shoes. I'm sorry.
Probably not. Yeah.
They have to be practical.
She's a field agent. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then we also have, and this is just going back to the beginning just very quickly, because this is such a great point. It was also Black Magic says the dude pulled teeth out of his head.
That was crazy. You know what? I'm glad he mentioned that, because I actually forgot about that. That wasn't in my notes. Yeah.
Wow.
But when he did it, I'm like, what is on his head? Oh my God, those are teeth.
Yes. And then also Ghost 2 saying Frank looks like Maniac Cop in that uniform. He did. That was kind of amazing.
Wow. Good walking, call, yeah. Maniac Cop. Yeah, I did not even think about that. Ugh. So, it's... It's at this point in the season, you start to figure like, well, I don't know how this is all going to wrap up, you know? And, fortunately, they did figure out a way. Were you going to say something, April?
Yeah. We talked a lot about what Frank was going through, but I also think it's important to talk about Curtis because, before this point, he was pretty much staying on his moral code, even though he was helping Frank. And this time he shot a man and watched him die in his arms. And he's really reeling from that. Yeah,
I am actually glad you mentioned that because we actually alluded to it in our previous episode that he even says it. It's like he's treated wounded before and had them die, but this was a guy he shot. And it just said so much about Curtis that this guy was trying to kill him, like, you know, 30 seconds earlier. Mm-hmm. But then because he shot him, he's like, I have to help this guy, of course, because that's what he does. You know, I mean, that's what he's trained for. And I think it's when it finally starts to get to Curtis. Zia, you and I have talked a lot about Curtis.
We love Curtis.
But there's so many times this season where you're like, oh, no, we're Curtis.
Seriously, I am terrified for Curtis. There's a point, too, that I'm sure we'll get to. I think it's in episode 11.
Which one?
Or 12.
Oh, when he's sitting down.
When Pilgrim comes to the trailer. Yeah. Oh, my God, I thought that was it. My heart lumped in, jumped into my throat, and I was like, not Curtis,
yeah.
No.
That's episode 12, by the way.
Okay, but, yeah. Episode 12.
I thought he was going to die so many times. I think it's just because he's such a ray of sunshine, and he's such a positive thing. It's like, you don't deserve to be like in this. I feel like something bad's going to happen to him every time.
Because that's what they do. They just get rid of the good guy. They're like, mm-hmm. We're just going to leave all of these evil people alive.
Yeah, there's not a lot of holy good people on the show. You feel like it's Mahoney and Curtis.
Yeah.
And that's probably it.
Yeah, they're
it's
really the ones holding down the fort there.
You know, Amy's still young. Maybe she'll turn out okay. She's definitely not a good person when we meet her. But, you know, she's still got... There's hope for her. Everybody else is a lost cause.
Because they're set in their ways.
Dr. Dumont, of course. You know, and then the obvious ones.
I think Karen's a good soul.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
She's willing to... play a lot dirtier, I think. I think she's definitely a good person. She just morally does some questionable things every now and again.
Yeah.
Nothing like too crazy.
Killing people occasionally.
Sometimes.
Daredevil.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes.
Killing the Kingpin's best friend. Yeah. You know, I mean, maybe.
All right, I take it back.
Yeah. So, you know.
I agree with you. She's a good person.
She is a good person. Yeah. But, you know, if we're going to rank them, you got to put Mahoney at the top.
Yeah.
And then Curtis gets dragged into Frank's nonsense.
Curtis
is a good person.
Yeah.
But you definitely let Frank talk you into some stuff that you shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm, probably.
So we haven't talked much about Billy in these episodes. And while Frank is in the hospital, he needs to call. He needs to gloat, you know, how does it feel and all that. And something that he says is obviously very important because it resonates with Agent Madani. But April, as you see that moment, you know, it's like, Billy, you did what you wanted to do. It was done. And he does talk to Dr. Dumont about this. It's like, yeah, but sometimes getting what you want, there's this huge letdown afterwards. Are you surprised that he felt he had to call Frank and gloat afterwards?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Didn't think so.
It shows so much of his character is that, like, it's never good enough to beat somebody for him. He has to, like, gloat in his face.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. That sounds about
He's very
about
arrogant.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's and I think it says a lot about just, you know, how fragile Billy is emotionally, that he's just like, yeah, I am still not happy. I don't know what it takes. And you know, we talked about this previously, but I'm surprised at how sympathetic Billy Russo manages to be at times, not as a whole, but there's moments where things that happen, and we'll talk about them, that you're like, oh, I think I'm feeling bad for you. And then he does something and you're like, oh, right, you're that guy. No, I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't feel bad for you.
But. No, but you're right. The show does a great job of doing that, of in just little pockets of moments where I'm just like, oh.
Yeah. Whereas like last season when at the season one finale, when he's getting his face dragged through the mirror, you're like, yeah, you deserve that. Mm-hmm. You're
oh, yeah.
Awful
absolutely.
Person. Yeah.
It's that thing that he's going through where he still doesn't know exactly what he did.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and a little bit of that, and a little bit of kind of seeing how he was with, you know, Dr. Crazy Pants, as Ghost puts him, puts her. I think that's what he called her. It made me laugh. I think
the correct title is Crazy Pants MD, but, you know. It's,
yeah.
Technicality.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, either way.
Dr. Crazy Pants.
Dr. Crazy Pants.
It's, you know, that moment where I'm jumping ahead just a little bit, where he goes to buy her the flowers on the way home. And
yeah. Yeah,
I felt a little mm-hmm. thing there. I hate myself for it a tiny bit, but
to speak to that, he gets to a point where he's like, "All right, I can actually walk away from this."
Yeah,
which, you know, Frank can't walk away from Billy because of what Billy did.
Well, and also, who's he going to walk? His family's gone.
Yeah, right. So
they're dead.
Billy gets to a point where he can walk away from all of it. You know, and he's unable to do that. So I think that when we talk in our next episode about Billy's entire arc, it's a lot more tragic than I thought it would be. Instead of, you know, like when he first breaks out of the hospital, you're like, oh, I can't wait till Frank kills him. You know?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So and not that he didn't need killing. So we talked about. Briefly, this scene where Curtis and John, the pilgrim, are talking, and I thought it was just a great example of the different aspects of the show, because You have the fight scene of it. You have the resiliency of Amy to, you know, basically go out the, I don't know what that hatch is. I'm afraid that's a hatch to, like, you know, dump out your poop when you're
in the trailer. That's what I thought.
Yeah. But anyway, so for her to get out and then, you know, just talking, you know, and that's why I think John works as an adversary, is because he's willing to talk to people and he can evaluate whether or not he thinks they're good or just, or, you know, he's also leaves a lot of it in God's hands, you know. But yeah. What did you think about that actual interaction between John and Curtis, April?
I like that Curtis was, like, playing it off, like, yeah. He had no idea what he was talking
about. Of course,
about.
Yeah.
But, of course, at that moment, I was like, oh, my gosh, he's going to get killed.
Yes, that's like the fifth time this season, and not the last time where I'm like, oh, why is Curtis going to die here?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, don't do this to me. I like Curtis.
But he survives it. And,
yes.
I love Amy coming in for the win. She's the one who shot him, right, with the buckshot?
In the leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Man. Yeah, I know. And of course, you know, that's the great moment in that little exchange. It's like, Frank and the girl, I don't know some girl. And then, of course, the girl walks in.
Mm-hmm. Bad timing.
Yeah, come on, Amy.
I don't listen at the door.
Yeah. Like, hey, this sounds bad. But yeah, I thought she really, as the season goes along, she really continues to prove herself, except for the times where you're just like, you're so crazy. Stop doing what you're doing.
Everybody in the show has some crazy in them.
Yeah, sure. There isn't anybody where you're like, well, why don't you just walk away? You know, like everybody, like it's, well, you know what? Probably except for Mahoney. He's like, no, I'm going to arrest this guy because that's what I do.
Oh,
you know,
but Mahoney.
Yeah, everybody else, though, you're like, come on, just stop. Stop with the crazy. That's the subtitle.
See, I felt that way with Mahoney too. I was like, just stop chasing them. Yeah. Like, do yourself a favor.
let Frank be Frank.
Right.
Let him do what he needs to do. Yeah, no, that's true. That's a great point. So speaking of going crazy and crazy turns of events that I didn't see coming, Frank kidnapped Senator Schultz.
Oh yeah.
Was not expecting that.
Nope.
Very bold. Very mm-hmm. bold call there. What do you think when you realized what Frank was doing, Zia? What did you think about that?
I mean, I know he's always been like that, but he had no F's left to give at that point. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Because I, at first, was wondering whose place is that and why is he going over there and who's this man he's punching? I was like, they're introducing a whole new kid. Like, what is happening? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when we finally get that connection of... This is episode 13. I'm not going to say anything.
Right, but
when
we finally
get that connection.
But when we find out who he is in episode 12,
we know
he's the senator.
Right.
We mm-hmm. know he's
in the photos.
You didn't get that, actually.
I didn't get that.
See, I got that.
Okay, I missed
that. The Schultzes are his parents,
that
and his,
makes,
his name is Schultz.
There's a whole scene with them golfing together.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Zia missed that scene somehow because we were watching episode 13 together, and then she puts together, like, oh, those are his parents. And I'm like, yeah, I forgot about the golf scene. Yeah, that is true. He's with his dad.
He's probably looking down and taking notes at that moment like an idiot. See, my notes have now ruined
your
me.
Notes are so crazy. Talk about just stop the crazy. You both with your notebooks. It really intimidates me. I think that's why we had him in the golf scene, because I recognized him when we saw him in his home because of that
from
scene.
From the golf scene.
From the golf scene, okay. Yeah. But yeah, that's how boring golf is. You don't even remember the scene.
You just zone it out.
Yeah.
As soon as the golfing starts happening, I'm like, okay, ooh, butterfly.
Right.
What's that?
Bold move by Frank, and really thinking outside the box. Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's good that Curtis is there when he brings the senator to the trailer, because he's able to keep Frank in check to some extent. But what do you think, April, as there's that moment where Frank at least has to consider, you know what? This guy doesn't know what I'm talking about. It's his crazy parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's, like, he pauses, like, interrogating him, and, like, they kind of look at each other for a moment. It's like, yeah, they both kind of know that he has no idea what's going on. And then it's kind of like, well, you're kind of screwed because you're sitting there with him, but he did the right thing by calling his parents and everything. They played it smart.
Yeah, I agree. I honestly felt really bad for David. Being in that situation.
Because you want to talk about somebody that hasn't done anything bad in the show.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Is all he wants to do is live his life. He wants to be happy. He is apparently a gay man, and his parents are not okay with that.
And just for the love of God, let him be gay.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. really, that's what this... This entire thing is just over the... This whole season, minus Russo, obviously, is just over the fact that this man is gay, and no one can handle it.
So frustrating. That storyline... So the Amy Pilgrim, etc., Schultz's storyline...
Yeah.
That is all because of a photo of him kissing a man. I don't know what state he's a senator from, but I'm going to assume it's a state where that is something that's going to, you know, hurt your chances of getting reelected,
maybe
hurt your chances to be president. The fact that they're at a bus station in a later episode and it says like North Carolina, I feel like they're probably somewhere in that region. I don't want to generalize, but I think if you're a senator from Massachusetts, Barney Frank, everybody knew he was gay and he got reelected a ton of times. So I think, although he was never going to be president, so maybe that is the point. So anyway, I don't know. I thought that it makes you realize it comes down to this poor guy got caught up into something that he had no idea. And he's really going to have to deal with it when we talk about episode 13.
Oh, man.
Which, by the way, I meant to say at the top of the show, when we're done with this show in about 15 minutes, just stick around. You'll find a link on YouTube, or if you're listening to the archive afterwards, episode 13, it's right there. So at 4 Pacific, 7 Eastern, we're going to do our wrap-up of episode 13 in 13 minutes, I'm being told. So when I said 15, that was a lie. But
2 minutes off, Christian.
Yeah, that's true. So we're going to talk about episode 13 right after this, but it's not going to be this stream. So you have to find the episode 13 stream. Anyway, I meant to mention that at the top, but now that we have that figured out, let's talk about the biggest thing from these three episodes, which is Krista and what's Madani's first name?
Dina.
Yeah. Krista and Dina. Just a couple of gals having some wine, drinking some tea, just hanging out, talking. What did you think, Zia, when we first see in episode 10, we're getting sort of in a flashback form, just Dina Madani getting played by Krista Dumont?
First of all, that was infuriating. And just watching it happen, you're like, oh man, because you know what's happening. Dina doesn't know what's happening. When it comes to this episode, though, where she goes, and I love that one moment, I forget exactly what moment it was, but where you see the realization on Madani's face.
That
she knows.
And I don't quite know when that is. I don't know if it's when Billy on the phone call I forget what the phrase was. I don't know. You both have such detailed notes.
No, it's one of you has it.
Z is like going to flip through pages.
I'll find it.
Yeah, but I thought it was a good device. I don't know if you agree, April, that just the way that their conversation kind of framed that episode in a flashback form, you know, in episode 10, you know, basically giving Billy what he needs to know for how he could actually beat Frank as opposed to just killing Frank, right?
Yeah, I think that was very smart of Dr. Dumont. And I was so frustrated with Madani because it's like, I feel like she was better than this. Like, she should have known earlier, but once she finds out, it's so good.
That sequence when she shows up, I don't know, there's like 10 minutes, maybe even a little bit more left in episode 12.
Yep. And it's
like, who's at the door? You know, and Dr. Dumont's like, you know, she's packing up, you know, you'd think that she would just have, it's basically like she has like one of those like Uncle Scrooge money bags with the big dollar signs on it. She's like, well, I'm not doing anything here. No, just thought I should take a trip. You want to have some tea?
Yeah.
And because we know Madani knows at that point, Zia, how do you feel about when she opens that door and she starts talking to Dr. Dumont, you know?
Oh, I knew exactly what she's up to.
Yeah.
She was there to wait for Billy and subdue Dr. whatever she was going to do. But yeah, she 100% was going to rub it in Dr. Dumont's face that she knows exactly what's going on. And there's a couple points. First of all, Black Magic here said, we're all our own devils. That was the line.
That's it. Thank you. That was the quote. I didn't quite have it in my head. Yeah.
And there's one thing here where he literally took the words right out of my mouth because I had this exact same thought. Black Magic also said, how is Dumont even able to keep up a fight with Madani? Madani is as a homeland agent and should have been able to take her out a lot quicker than that. I had that same thought.
I had that exact thought because of Madani's training. And look, it's not a terminology that we should throw around casually, but I do think it's appropriate here. She is a crazy bitch. So
that was my
thought. That sometimes
don't underestimate a crazy bitch.
Yeah, the crazy takes over. And I did have that thought. If somehow Dr. Dumont were able to subdue Madani or really beat her, you know, I would have been like, oh, come on. But for her to, you know, get a couple of good punches, you know, carve her face, by the way.
Yeah, that was brutal to watch.
That was rough. Yeah, there's a lot of moments in the show. You know, people getting hurt, mm-hmm. people picking out buckshot and bullets. And there's teeth out of the head. There's so much. What were you going to say, April?
I like that scene when they're in the kitchen and they're by the stove. I totally thought she was going to grab the teapot and hit her over the head.
I think the reason why we hear the teapot is because we're supposed to think like, well, obviously she's going to hit the hot teapot in Krista's face and she's going to be a Jigsaw too, you know, something like that. But I was glad we didn't get that. It's a little obvious. That's why I don't write this show. Because I would have basically done like a paint by numbers script where you would all see it coming. And
everybody would be like, oh, predict the scene. And then the scene happens.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. They'd be able to recite the dialogue before the characters say it.
My issue with the end of it, where you're talking about being like on the nose, is I feel like it was very on the nose that she fell out the window. Because you're the whole time she's has that fear. This is her second time falling out the window. Like, how unlucky can you be?
Well, and you said it.
What did I say?
Oh, that you think
she
would live.
I know, I'm smart,
live...
but you tell everybody else.
No, you think that she would live on the ground floor.
Well, that was my thing. It's like, if that's your issue, why do you live three stories up? Like, live on the ground floor. Okay, maybe the second. You know, but you can't live. Don't live
that's
up there.
That's not climactic enough.
Yeah. Right. But what I will say about the believability about Dr. Dumont going out the window is that we've seen so many times throughout the season, when you get her near the window, she starts to freak out. Mm-hmm. So I think Madani clearly read her file. And by the way, the reveal, like, oh, you know, like what happened with your dad? You read my file. You know, like I love that reveal. Yeah. So I think she knows that what her issue is. And the fact that, you know, I'm going to get her close to the window. But, you know, let's not feel too bad for Krista for going out the window, because why did Madani have to push her out the window? Because she was trying to kill her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I do definitely have that moment, especially with the reveal about the story about her father when she's a kid. Yeah. That is it's really tragic and really heartbreaking. Yeah. I mean, can
and
you imagine?
The flashback of like her as a little girl.
Oh my God.
And
looking
her dad,
at her dad.
Yeah.
Realizing that her dad was going to kill her.
Yeah.
And then instead she has to watch him die.
Yeah.
And then also have to be put back together. Like I understand where the crazy comes from. It doesn't give you a pass to go around killing people and letting your boyfriend kill people and just psychoing all over the place. But it still was a heartbreaking story to hear. It was oof.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, you know, but as fight scenes to watch go, that was pretty great. You know, one thing that I thought was going to factor in that didn't was the fact that, I guess maybe it was more of a reveal to us, but Billy, like, stacked up those bullets from that he used to kill the three women in Dr. Dumont's apartment. And I just figured that those were going to come back as evidence in some way and be useful, but... I guess not. I guess that was more to like let us know, like, yep, I did it.
Yep.
But so I thought that was something that she was going to see, actually. You know, like, oh, why does she have like 9 bullets? You know, just hanging out. Or bullet. I guess those are bullet casings. Those aren't actual bullets.
Still.
Yeah. See, I know stuff about guns. That's why I watch The Punisher.
Nice.
Yeah. So I think that was just a really impressive, you know, sequence that I don't think I saw that coming. I knew that there was going to be a confrontation between them. I did not see that coming. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about this earlier today, Zia and I, on Marvel Movie News over on Popcorn Talk Network. And it's a valid point. Our co-host Zach Wilson pointed out that, like, you know, this woman has severe emotional trauma. How did she get to have a job where she's a doctor who treats people who have severe emotional trauma? And I mean, I guess maybe that's the point.
Well, see, the thing is a lot, and I think I might have mentioned this before, a lot of therapists become therapists because they've gone through something, some sort of emotional trauma.
Right. I mean, by way of a comparison, you know, that group that Curtis has, he can speak to, you know, exactly. veterans can speak amongst themselves with someone who has the experience. So, yeah, I mean, I can certainly see that aspect of it for sure.
And who are you to judge if she look for... by all, you know, intents and purposes, or however she looks from the outside, she's an esteemed doctor. She's helped a lot of patients. She's never done anything like this before. Mm-hmm. The crazy really revealed itself with Billy. Before that, we don't know that much about her story before that, except that she lives in a really nice apartment in New York, which leads me to believe that she's very successful because rent there is not cheap. She lives in a very nice neighborhood.
Yes. Everyone lives in a reasonable, except for, you know, I mean, well, Curtis has that trailer, but Curtis also has his nice apartment too.
Yeah.
So yeah, everybody lives somewhere nice, you know.
I love Madani's house.
Oh my God.
Yeah, hers is pretty good. Right? Yeah. Yeah, especially if you steal her credit card and you order whatever mm-hmm. you want.
And she goes, yeah, she won't miss it. Well, she wasn't wrong.
She was, it's true.
She can afford some takeout food and Forever 21.
So nice to, like, not have to worry about your bank account. Like, oh, somebody just blew, like, $1,000. Yeah. Okay.
It's like, don't know what well, don't you want to call your credit card company and cancel the card? Nope.
No,
it's fine. Yeah, it'll be all right.
Just pay the $1,000.
Well, we only have a couple more minutes, but as I said, at the top of the hour, we will be on another stream. So we'll be right back to talk about episode 13. Yeah. But final thoughts on these three episodes leading into the big finale. April, anything that you, any just overall feelings or something that we just didn't get to yet, the little moments that stood out for you?
I think we got to most of the things I wanted to talk about. I loved the fight scene where with Frank in that like warehouse building with the lights. I thought that was awesome. And I actually think my favorite fight scene was Madani and Dr. Dumont because you don't get to see the females like fight like that before. And I feel like they were so well matched.
Yeah. And I think that obviously Dumont should have been overmatched. But again, the crazy bitch crazy. Factor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that this show throughout the season had some really inventive fight sequences that were things we hadn't seen before. I'd never seen anything like that warehouse before, mm-hmm. but you're like, oh yeah, there's no way around that. You know, you're blinding them. You got the loud music. You got a group of guys that are, you know, slitting your legs and things like that. Zia, any final thoughts from you or the chat before we wrap up?
We do have one comment from Black Magic said about...
Black Magic, you're all over the show tonight. Thank you.
He is on top of it. And he's like,
our fourth host.
Seriously. He is. And we're he's like right here with me.
Well, I hope you're with us in a few minutes when we talk about episode 13, Black Magic.
But talking about her living on a higher floor, which is actually sort of what I said too. He said it's actually a therapeutic process to get over her fear of heights. It's called exposure therapy. Which totally tracks.
I mean, considering what she does, she would feel like that's important. Like, exactly. This is the way I'm going to get over it.
Well, and you chose her going to the window to keep trying to...
Usually the curtains were closed. No, it's a great point. I mean, it makes sense. It's just, for me, I'm like, I'm going to live on the ground floor. Like, always on the ground floor. I'm not...
I'm not facing my fears.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that whirlwind conversation, an interesting word that maybe will factor in a few minutes. But please join us in a few minutes when we talk about episode 13. But for now, if you'd like to follow me on Twitter and Instagram, I'm at @KristenDMZ. And Zia, where do people find you?
You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at @Zia_land. It's @XIA_land.
And April?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at April13Dawn and right here in a few minutes.
That's right. In a few minutes, we'll be here. And if you don't get enough Zia and I here on this panel, we do Marvel Movie News on the Popcorn Talk Network, 1 p.m. Pacific on Thursdays, and Marvel TV Weekly Sundays at 9 Pacific, all here on AfterBuzz TV. Thanks so much, everybody, and we'll see you in a few minutes to talk episode 13.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.